Hi there, and welcome to the Liverpool Life Podcast. I'm Stephen Carson, and I'll be telling you all about the major news we've been following this week on Merseyside. We'll also have the latest local sports news, as well as a what's on guy for Liverpool. Coming up in this week's podcast, there is both good and bad news in the job sector in Merseyside this week.
It's great that we've got the new homes, it's great that the infrastructure is improving, but it's very important that we get jobs for our young people.
And a crucial vote took place in the House of Commons, which decided on whether Sunday trading hours could be relaxed.
I think it's fair that everyone should have time off on a Sunday. Sunday's time for like chilling, rest, church, things like that.
But first, there has been good and bad news in the job sector in Merseyside this week, with the bad unfortunately outweighing the latter. Our reporter Adam Lawrence has more on this story.
It has been announced this week that Liverpool Football Club are set to hire further 1,000 employees at Anfield once a new expansion of the main stand is completed. An extra 8,500 seats are being added to the stand as part of the £260 million project, which means the club will need the extra matchday staff to work in its kitchens and retail teams, amongst many other sectors. This marks the biggest recruitment drive in the club's history and aligns with the launching of the new Ready to Work course to improve the options for unemployed Liverpool residents, which will offer access to catering and hospitality opportunities at Anfield. Councillor for Anfield and Deputy Chair for the Employment and Skills Select Committee, Brian Dowling, emphasised how vital these jobs are for the area.
It's vastly important on two reasons. One, the economy, just to get people employed and to give them the chance to see that there's something going on. And also, as neighbours, LFC is a neighbour to everyone that's there, to try and get them involved, and I think it's a great idea. At the moment, I think they've had a jobs fair on, and one of them was mainly for the local people. When you say Anfield spreads across Everton County. It touches a load of, but they're all the same. So long as it comes into the area, I think it's a great idea. I think they've done as well on this. We've had difficulties with LFC, but since these new owners, they seem to be trying to work with the people. I like it.
Deputy Mayor of Liverpool Anne O'Byrne has been heavily involved in regeneration projects in Anfield and brought attention to the club's focus on helping young people.
I think it's really important that we make sure that the people of Anfield can access these job opportunities, and that's why I think it's great that the football club are organising training for people so that they can become job ready and can take those opportunities up. We had a jobs fair in Stanley Park not so long ago, 2 weeks ago, and there was 500 job opportunities available then. And whenever now we meet with residents and they're saying, you know, it's great that we've got the new homes, it's great that the infrastructure is improving, but it's very important that we get jobs for our young people. And so they are absolutely delighted that we're delivering on that promise.
In contrast to this, it has also been revealed on Monday that 3,000 jobs are at risk over plans to shut tax offices in Bootle. St John's House, the Triad, Litherland House and Combin House in Netherton are all set to close under a HM revenue and customs shake-up. Customs bosses announced in November last year that all of its 170 offices nationwide would close by 2020 to be replaced by 13 regional centres, with one set to be in Liverpool. Campaigners are to protest against the planned closures on the 16th of March, the same day as Chancellor George Osborne delivers the budget. Phil Dickens, head of the campaign group Battle for Bootle, believes closing the tax offices is the wrong way to go about saving money.
What they're planning to do about it, where they're shedding loads of jobs and reducing the amount of people who are dedicated to collecting the tax and making sure that the right amount's paid, is completely the wrong way to go about it, no matter what sort of way you come at it. At the end of the day, if you want to bring more tax in, you need people there doing the job, making sure that the right amount of tax is paid. So we think that instead of closing down places and getting rid of people, they should be employing more people, making sure that the people are there to provide the service.
Other news on the job front came from Tuesday's reports that one of Britain's largest energy companies, Empire, announced that 2,400 jobs will be cut within its UK and overseas establishments before 2018 after a series of poor financial results. Details of the job losses were revealed on Tuesday morning by German parent company RWE when they revealed annual losses of £106 million at Empire, whereas the parent group itself announced £496 million in overall group losses. Empire employs 7,500 people directly in the UK, but also has a sizeable workforce overseas. in recent years had disclosed UK offices and outsourced customer service work to India. It is unclear how these cuts will affect the region of Merseyside as of yet, but energy firm's parent company have warned that billing issues in Empire would continue throughout 2016. Empire described its annual results as extremely disappointing and announced the start of a two-year programme to simplify its business processes.
That was Adam Lawrence talking about jobs in Merseyside this week. Don't forget to tell us what you think. You can do so by tweeting us at JMU Journalism.
The latest Liverpool Life is out now. The team has pulled together another great package and it's ready to view.
News.
Sport. Features.
Reviews.
Entertainment. Pick up a free copy from our friendly reception staff at the Redmond's building on Brownlow Hill. But if you can't get here, don't worry. You can read it online anytime on your laptop, desktop, tablet or smartphone. And it's not only free, but like all our multimedia content, it's completely ad-free. That's right, there are no pop-ups, ad banners, pre-roll ads, sign-ups, free trials, nothing. Just great content at your fingertips anytime you want it. All you need to do is type in your browser jmu-journalism.org.uk. Then click the link in the right-hand column of the homepage, read all about it, and it'll take you right there to the latest edition. If it's happening in Liverpool, it's in Liverpool Life. Out now!
A book of condolences has opened at the Beatles Story in Liverpool's Albert Dock for Sir George Martin, whose death was announced on Wednesday, March 9th. Sir George, often dubbed as the Fifth Beatle, produced and arranged most of the Fab Four's records. At first, though, he wasn't impressed with their music, and by 1962, the band had already been turned down by all the country's major record companies. But fortunately, George Martin loved the personalities and cheeky wit of the Four Scousers, and was on the lookout for new talent for his small record label, which had previously been noted for its classical, jazz, and comedy releases. He used his classical training and gift for creativity in the recording studio to help the Beatles produce some of the most innovative and most loved recordings of all time. He also produced many other local artists at the height of the Merseybeat era. The news of Sir George's death, who was 90, led to national and international journalists and TV crews arriving in the city, including Channel 4 News, which had live reports and interviews from the George Martin Studio in Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts. The government has announced plans to relocate the Liverpool Women's Hospital from its Crown Street city centre location to an out-of-town hospital, leading to shock and dismay from campaigners. The 20-year-old site is expected to be demolished and moved into Aintree after being told it simply can't deal with the growing number of babies and mothers needing specialist treatment at the Women's Hospital. Our reporter Matt Crosby spoke to the founder of the Save Liverpool Women's Hospital Group, Felicity Dowling, on why she believes the latest government reasoning behind the planned relocation simply doesn't add up.
We want to keep an excellent facility with brilliant patient outcomes, but to improve on it.
And why do you think they're looking at moving so soon? Obviously, 20 years is quite a short time to have a hospital. It's quite a new hospital in.
Yeah, beautiful hospital. Why? We think there are ideas going on in the whole of the NHS, not just in Liverpool, that are very negative and that we want to, you know, to stop. We don't believe them, frankly. I mean, at the board meeting I attended last, the previous board meeting that I attended, everybody on the board agreed they wanted to keep the services on the site as a discreet hospital. That was unanimous. And then they come along and go, oh, now we think we should relocate. We actually think the relocate argument is frankly ridiculous. There is a problem with the women, a serious one, and that is that the money that the government provides for maternity is inadequate to meet the Royal College standard of staffing for maternity care. They can't employ enough midwives on the tariff that the government gives them. And that is going to be an ongoing deficit year on year.